Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. I went to bed on Friday thinking everything was great. You know, some people were saying, Charlie, you're too pro-Israel. I woke up on Saturday and was interrupted on my Sabbath saying, I hate Jews. Things are getting out of control. We walk all through it. And how you should respond when you are lied about. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member at charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab. That is charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab to listen to all of our episodes, advertiser free. We are constantly under attack. And if you want to support our show and become a member, you guys can do so at charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab. Become an exclusive member now. It's affordable for all income levels, and it really helps us out. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So for the last couple of years, some people, not all people, say, Charlie, you're too pro-Israel. Why do you care so much about Israel? As soon as the massacre, it wasn't an attack, it was an attempted genocide, started in Israel, I immediately came out in defense of Israel, as I always have. On campuses literally across the world, I have defended Israel. When I did our campus tour at TPUK, when I did our events here across the country, when people ask me about Israel, I'm pro-Israel. I love Israel. Israel changed my life. Been there multiple times, been to the Gaza border. In fact, interestingly enough, before this whole thing broke out, I had an event with Dennis Prager where one guy comes up calling for a holy war against the Jews. We called him out as he deserved, as a suspicious character who seems to have hatred for the Jewish people. Now, all that's an important backdrop, because apparently none of that mattered. This last weekend, I turned off my phone for Shabbat. I'm not Jewish, but I honor the Shabbat of the God of Abraham, Jehovah. Turn off the phone, as I always do, from Friday night to Sunday morning. Also happened to be my birthday weekend. Some people were texting me, Charlie, you're going too pro-Israel. That's what I got Friday night. You're doing too much on the Israel thing. I said, oh, whatever. Have a nice weekend. Turn off the phone. And I wake up on Saturday. And of course, I'm not reachable, but Andrew calls Erica. And I said, what is it? He said, oh, things are blowing up all over social media. They're accusing you of being anti-Israel. And I said, how is that even possible? He said, what piece of tape do they possibly have? And so I went on Patrick Bet-David's podcast this last weekend, who's excellent, by the way, Patrick Bet-David, and I did exactly what I've done on this show. Of course, I talk about my love of Israel and my stance with the Jewish people, but I went through a series of inquiries, and I'm going to keep on doing that. So I have a whole career defending Israel, and I woke up where people are calling me a Holocaust denier and a Jew hater. Now, I'm going to get to this later in the show. But the level of outrage and the insanity that is infecting some people in the conservative movement is repugnant, repulsive, and it's turning a lot of people off right now. It's turning a lot of people off, myself included. Like, everyone's got to calm down and settle down, because just calling everybody an anti-Semite is ridiculous. Especially me, someone who has received a fair amount of arrows and attacks for being too pro-Israel. So I'm going to play the entire tape in question here, the whole thing, that now has well over 6 million views on Twitter. And I stand by every word. I even had a disclaimer. I stated fact after fact after fact. And it turns out that even after I did this interview, there are now articles that reinforce what my gut instinct was. And some people said, Charlie, you're flying too close to the sun. You're not allowed to ask questions like that. You're not allowed to do that in a time like this. I said, wait a second. You're not allowed to pursue the truth? Apparently not. Apparently, if you dare say, I love Israel, and I don't know why it took 20 hours, according to the New York Times, 20 hours to go rescue Jews, apparently you're no different than Hitler. And I'm going to read the tweets off from Ben Dominich, from Eric Erickson, calling me an anti-Semite because I said this on Patrick Bet-David's show, Play Cut 11.
I've been to Israel many times. The whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still have the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that's an IDF soldier, right? The whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here. But I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand down order? Whew. Was there a stand down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes.
Wow.
6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down? That is a legitimate non-conspiracy question. The whole country is the IDF. The whole country is.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell me that they're going to concerts and kibbutzes and schools and by report.
And it keeps on going from there. Axios.com. Israel security chiefs had intel on Hamas activity, but didn't put border on high alert. That's Axios.com. That's not some sort of Holocaust denier website. That's Axios. Israel leaders are facing growing criticism and questions over how they failed to prevent or quickly stop the deadliest attacks on its territory in decades. Okay, so let's take the most innocent explanation, of which I even had a disclaimer in that tape, and it blew up the internet this weekend, because you're not allowed to ask questions. You're not. You're not allowed to pursue the truth. You just must say, you know what? This all makes sense. Let's just go invade. And even from a different perspective, has anyone been fired? Are the same people who messed up this intelligence failure now in charge of the intelligence of the invasion of Gaza? Of which, by the way, I support the invasion of Gaza, which is hilarious. Because the one person who's probably going to be defending Israel the next couple weeks, me, is the person you go after. When things get really hard and the UN is going to say, Israel's committing war crimes, I'm going to be on campus defending Israel. I'm going to be on campus against the Students for Justice of Palestine. I'm going to be on campus against the Democrat Socialists of America. But I'm the anti-Semite? Put up this tweet. Ben Dominich. If Charlie Kirk remains the head of TPUSA, the right has an anti-Semite problem that will follow them into coming elections. Ben Dominich calling for regime change at Turning Point USA. Someone should probably inform him that's not going to happen. The only play that Ben Dominich has is regime change. Take him out. Color revolution. Launch a coup. It's all he knows. Eric Erickson. At this point, TPUSA is looking not like just a grifting operation, but an anti-Semitic grifting operation. Right, yeah, we have 400-plus employees with thousands of high school and college campuses across the country. Turning Point Action is recruiting thousands of precinct committeemen. We have TPUSA Faith, Turning Point Academy, Blexit, campus tours. And what do? Eric Erickson. You know, it's really easy to kind of sit on your tail and say, you're an anti-Semite, you're an anti-Semite. It's intellectually sloppy and lazy, and it does such harm to our movement. And I predicted this last week. Little did I know I'd be the recipient of it, but honestly, bring it up. I saw last week, I said, there's a coming conservative you could call civil war. That's probably no exaggeration, but just nasty chapter coming. Collision. We called it. We predicted it. Because I saw the temperature rising up, an ideological collision. And here I am, with a whole career built proudly and still repeatedly defending the Holy Land. And I say, hey, there's a New York Times article here that says that Kfar Azza, 20 hours. It took 20 hours to get people rescued. According to the New York Times, the shortest rescue was 8.5 hours. And then another 8 hours at the festival and 13 hours at Be'er Rahi. But you're not allowed to say that. Apparently, you get called an anti-Semite by Ben Domenech and Eric Erickson. Here's the point, is that after COVID, after Ukraine, after the vaccine, after all this stuff, yeah, we ask questions, but you're not allowed to do that anymore. If not, you get attacked so relentlessly as being called an anti-Semite? Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH, compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. You know what really bothers me is that there are Jew haters out there. And you should save the word anti-Semite for when you come across a Jew hater. There are racists out there, not as many as the left makes it seem. But when you call everything racist, you call everything anti-Semite, it means nothing. And now this is what these people are doing. Ben Domenech, Eric Erickson, they're no different than the left. They're basically making the pejorative or the accusation or the label, that's a better word, anti-Semite mean absolutely nothing. That's basically where we're headed. It's starting to mean nothing. And that's too bad because there are actual anti-Semites. When you all of a sudden say that the guy who is one of the most outspoken pro-Israel voices in the country, in the whole country, is an anti-Semite because I look at a New York Times article and it took 20 hours for the IDF. 20 hours. Now, is the New York Times wrong? That's what, because I got so many text messages. I could read some of them. One of the guys texted me, Charlie, you're a Holocaust denier. And I said, just lose my number. Like, honestly, really? I see that it takes 20 hours, according to the New York Times, and they just call you names. By the way, this is by Lauren Leatherby, Emin Bubala, Arjita Lajeka, Amy Schoenfield Walker, Molly Cook Escobar, Pablo Robles. Now, just so we're clear, the New York Times gets a lot wrong. This stuff, they're actually the best at. They were actually the best at January 6th. The January 6th New York Times timeline was by far the most accurate and actually proved some of our points, by the way, that there was more to the story. The New York Times reporting on it was exceptional. There was other stuff that it was suspicious. And so according to the New York Times, the attack started at 6:30 in the morning. How did Hamas get through the border? Bulldozers, air, land, sea, paragliders. And then messages go out, please send help at Nur Oz. And then 8.5 hours later, the IDF shows up. Festival. The evacuation begins. Hostages taken, 2.5 hours in. Gunmen shoot at crowd, 3 hours in. Gunmen load up cars, 6 hours in. 8 hours, the concert goers were rescued from the bush. 20 hours for Kavar Azat. Residents go into hiding at 6:30. 2.5 hours, 3 hours later, hostages were taken. 3 hours. Am I a bad person for asking these questions? Sit down and shut up and let's invade Gaza. Well, I actually support the invasion of Gaza, believe it or not. But are you about to go invade on bad intelligence? Has anyone been fired? Has anyone resigned in disgrace? By the way, if America is subsidizing the Israeli government, which I think that's actually in our geopolitical interest to do, shouldn't we be able to ask questions? Israel has won entire wars in barely more time than it took them to reclaim the villages near Gaza. Reasonable to wonder what happened. And I'm not doing it in some sort of, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. I'm reading the New York Times, pal. The New York Times. Has anyone answered these questions? And I'm going to mention 1973 in a second, which, by the way, when these, you know, I open up my phone from Shabbat and I have a lot of angry people, you know, that are texting me. And I sent them the Golda Meir thing and they ignored it. Some people were like, well, yeah, that's a good point. Oh, that's a good point. We'll mention that in just a second. Because it would not, let me put it this way. There's a historical piece of evidence that Israel has allowed themselves to be attacked before because they did not want to be viewed as the aggressor. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but learn the history of the Yom Kippur War, of which it was a 50-year anniversary. How about this one? Bi'er Ari. The attackers hit the kibbutz at 6:30 in the morning. The attackers start going in the streets and massacring civilians. They then, last contact with victims 6 hours in. You realize that people were on their phones asking for help for 5 or 6 or 7 hours. So they knew. They were live streaming the killings. They were on the phone pleading, send help, send help, send help, send help. I don't think I'm going to make it out here. 7 hours in. 7 hours in. They're saying, I don't think I'm going to make it out here. 13 hours later, the IDF arrived at this particular kibbutz. Nur Oz, 8.5 hours. Festival, 8 hours. Kavar Azara, 20 hours. Be'er Eri, 13 hours. I love Jews in Israel so much that I think this is unacceptable. And I think we should take a time out and ask what the hell happened in Israel before we do a ground invasion, send more arms, aircraft carriers, all that stuff's fine. But don't you think we should get some clarity on what actually happened? Not just barrel towards a war out of vengeance. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Okay, just show cut 18 up there. So this is a picture. When Erica and I, we visited Israel many times. We were there with the IDF right on the Gaza border. That's right there. You see kind of the faint buildings in the distance? That's right there. In fact, that's within a mile of where the Hamas terrorists, these savage demons, penetrated. And I got the full tour. And if you could put cut 18 up, we were going through the tank armaments right there. This is a military base not far from Gaza. In fact, it's about 3 miles away. And they have young men sitting, waiting to be deployed at any time. And if you go back to cut 18 right there, this is, you know, a strategic outpost. And the full-time job of the young men of the IDF right here in Cut 18, the full-time job is they sit there with binoculars 24 hours a day. The other photo, if you guys could put it, go back to it. Right there, their full-time job is to look if, and I remember, they told me, quote, Charlie, if a mouse moves, we know. And I said, okay, that's funny. They said, no, we have, you know, thermal binoculars. We have drone reconnaissance. They said, this is by far one of the most monitored borders in the world. And do you know what I said? I said, I wish we in America had a border like this one. And it was just kind of a funny joke at the time, but, you know, we really don't have much of a border. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, are you worried about penetration and all that? And again, it wasn't like specific line of questioning, but it was interesting. And they said, oh, no, this is incredibly secure. Sensors, anything happens, we know about it. And then if you go to some of those cities, by the way, we literally went to some of the kibbutzes where the people I met are all dead. They're all dead. Okay? And I remember going to those kibbutzes, and they do have a form of an alarm system. You have to wonder, did that not work? All these different things. And so Axios comes out with an article. Let me just read this article, because people's emotion is way too high right now. And my emotion is high. I want every single one of those savage Muslim demons that killed those Jews to be murdered, killed. Every one of them. But I also take a step back and I say, hold on a second. Before we do that, let's make sure that the people responsible aren't actually getting us into another trap. By the way, you invade Gaza, there will be booby traps, potentially chemical agents. You just have to be ready for that. This is a very serious thing. So time out. Let's read this article, okay? Israel officials said on Friday, the day before the attack, Israeli intelligence saw signs of Hamas activity in Gaza and suggested the militant group could have been preparing for an attack. Listen to this. This is the buried lead. Don't listen to this, guys. No one's talking about this in the media. They're all afraid. Well, we're not afraid here. Call me whatever you want. Listen to this. Several high-level consultations took place Friday night before the attack to try to understand what the new intelligence meant. IDF Chief of Staff Herzi Haveli, Shin Bat Director Ronan Barr, and Aaron Haliva, Head of Military Intelligence, participated in some of these consultations, which discussed whether the irregular activity was a Hamas exercise or an initial preparation for the attack. Israeli officials said that one of the possibilities that was raised in the consultation was to put IDF forces around Gaza on high alert because of a possible attack. Here's the issue that I am not going to lay off of. But after the consultations, the leaders decided to wait for more intelligence to come in. Several hours later, Hamas attacked. Okay, so they had high-level meetings. This is Axios. High-level Israeli government consultations. Who were in these discussions? Why did they decide not to put the border on high alert? It's the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. It's a high holy day on Shemat Torah. Arabs love killing Jews on high holy days. A war where Israel was caught off guard. Arabs love anniversaries. Muslims love it. It's part of their weird thing, like they could attack Jews on the most innocent time. So shouldn't that have been the opposite reaction, guys? 50-year anniversary of Yom Kippur War, lots of chatter and movement on Hamas, mobilize the IDF, increase the intensity. Now, this is where people really get angry when I say this, but I'm not going to back off because I love the truth. I love the Jewish people. I love Israel. And I'm not going to just sit idly by and accept every mainstream media narrative after we've been lied to about Ukraine, COVID, border, vaccine. 1973, Prime Minister Golda Meir, Minister of Defense Moshe Dayan, and Chief of General Staff David Elazar met at 8:05 on the morning of Yom Kippur. This is 50 years ago. 6 hours before the war began, Eleazar proposed a mobilization of the entire Air Force and 4 armored divisions, 100,000 troops, while Dayan favored a mobilization of the Air Force. Prior to the war, Kissinger and Nixon consistently warned Meir that she must not be responsible for initiating a Middle East war. Golda Meir made a decision. You know what decision she made? The decision that she made was, quote, Golda Meir decided not to launch a preemptive strike. She received intelligence that Egypt and Syria were mobilizing their forces. She decided not to launch the strike on the morning of the war, despite knowing of the imminent threat and defended her decision as a way to avoid international condemnation. Golda Meir ordered the full mobilization of the reserves and sought diplomatic and military support from the U.S. and other countries. She eventually faced public criticism and inquiry after the war, which exposed the flaws of the Israeli defense. So the Yom Kippur War, they had intelligence. Well, the Israeli government had intelligence here. So let me give the innocent explanation. The innocent explanation is that there were several high-level consultations that took place on Friday night, and it was the boy who cried wolf. It was, you know what? This happens a lot. Bunch of Arabs, you know, throwing rocks. There's a lot of noise. We get warnings all the time. Our border is the best. We're prideful. You know, they didn't say we're prideful, but they had a sense of pride and cockiness. They rolled their eyes and said, what's the worst they're going to do? A bunch of 18-year-olds are going to run to the fence and start shaking the fence. Maybe it was an honest mistake. We're the unsinkable ship. We are the impenetrable defense. We are Israel. We are the Spartans of the Middle East. They can't possibly penetrate us. We are the Maginot Line, full of hubris and pride. Let's enjoy our holy day. There's no way that Arabs can come in and kill our people. We are the beast of the Middle East. Okay. I can buy pride as an explanation. It's totally possible. But it's also important that you understand what our gut instinct was last week when I went on Patrick. This, by the way, I went on Patrick Bet David's show before this Axios article. I went out on a limb on pure gut saying, I think they had some sort of chatter and intelligence. Turns out we were right. Not only were we right, they were high-level consultations. Who was involved in those meetings? Who was in charge? Was Bibi briefed? Was it the head of the IDF? These are interesting questions that, honestly, it is our business as Americans to know, because America is going to be involved in this through arms, blood banks, aircraft carriers, diplomatic support. We, as American taxpayers, demand an answer to these questions before you guys go rolling into Gaza, of which is perfectly justifiable. We have an aircraft carrier in the Middle East. We have all this stuff going on, and we're like, no, you can't answer a question. You hate Jews. If you ask, no, actually, I love Jews. I love Israel. I love America. We have a $4 billion auto pay on Israel every single year. I would think we should get an answer as to this. Quote, several high-level consultations. Israeli officials said that one of the possibilities that was raised in the consultation was to put IDF forces. That means that somebody in the meeting said, why don't we go put IDF on the border? And somebody said no. Let me read this again. In the Axios article, one of the possibilities that was raised, that means they had a roundtable discussion, and someone said, well, why don't we just go mobilize the military? And somebody said no. I want to know who said no and why they said no. And yes, it is my damn business. I'm an American taxpayer, and so are you, that's going to be underwriting this thing. And we should have Israel's back, and we should support Israel unequivocally. But I'm not going to go be an apologist for some deep state bureaucrat in the Israeli government that messed up. That's not going to happen. Are the same people still in charge? Has any form of justice been served? Who did this? Why did they do this? What was the conversation? We should get answers like this, just like we demand answers from Ukraine, answers from Fauci on COVID. When the government lies to us and they cover things up, we on this program ask questions. And boy, out of all the narratives that I have challenged, BLM, Ukraine, vaccine, this last weekend, I have been treated far more viciously for asking these questions than the other ones. Maybe it's because of emotion. Maybe it's because people are just at a high level and they're so upset that they are a hammer looking for a nail, and it doesn't matter that Charlie has 11 years and thousands of hours of content defending Israel and the Jewish people. As I honor the Shabbat, they just say, Charlie's an anti-Semite. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm asking the right questions. And you guys are naked apologists right now. And I don't like that. It's bad for America. It's bad for Israel. It's bad for the West. The truth will set you free. And according to Axios, not some fringe website, there was a meeting. There was a probe to send troops. And somebody said no. Who? Why? We demand an answer before any invasions occur. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists. targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-235-887 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. The attacks we received over the weekend were people that hate Turning Point USA anyway and hate me, and were trying to find some unsubstantiated internet rumor to try to come after Turning Point USA and come after this program because we're so effective. That's also part of it, is that they find some unsubstantiated thing. Oh my goodness, I hate Charlie anyway because Charlie is speaking the conservative message. They're losing, they're shrinking market share. And what is the last way that you try to delegitimize people? You can't prove that Turning Point is ineffective. We've never been more effective. Never as many views, billions and billions of views online. High school and college chapters, unbelievable impact, like unbelievable impact at Turning Point USA. I'm so proud of the Turning Point Action, Turning Point USA team. So instead they have to go smear me, like there's some sort of slander merchant calling me an anti-Semite. It's just the latest attack vector against Turning Point USA. So that's not lost on me. It's not. But it's also very telling. It's very telling that you dare go through a series of facts and connect those facts. And hilariously, I'm using the mainstream media's own sources. I'm using Axios. This is not some sort of thing where I'm like going to the bowels of the internet of unsubstantiated hearsay. It's CNN, it's New York Times, it's Axios. And so I received a text message from somebody and they were really upset with what I said. And you would know this name, public name. And to their credit, they kept everything private. They didn't go public. They were so upset, right? And I sent them all these articles and they said, yeah, Charlie, the intelligence failures are a legit concern, but we just must be 100% behind Israel right now. And if I learned anything, these last couple of years during our own domestic cultural revolution, if I learned anything, it is finding the source of why you're upset is one of the most important things. Hear me out. When George Floyd died, it mattered whether or not he was also overdosing on drugs. The Hennepin County medical examiner said yes. When they started burning down Wendy's and looting stores, it mattered whether or not we were actually a systemically racist country. When we locked down our country around COVID, we had to challenge the premise. We said, wait a second, is this as deadly as you say it is? Is it worth locking down schools? Are there other interventions that can help? Getting your vitamin D level up, ivermectin, intravenous therapy, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin. So if I've learned anything over these last couple of years, anything, it's when the media gets 10 out of 10 fever pitch, I like to take a couple steps back and say, is your premise a little bit off? And on this Israel one, they're not off on the actual carnage. 100% right, obviously. 1,300 Jews massacred, slaughtered at the hands of Muslim terrorists. And all those Muslim terrorists are going to be hunted down and killed, and they will be. But if we're acting as if that there is not, everything here is exactly as we're told. It's not even exactly as we're told. I'm just curious, in a country where the whole place is the IDF, why does it take 20 hours to get someplace? And has anyone answered that question? Has anyone answered the very simple question of 8.5 hours at Nuraz, 8 hours at the festival, 20 hours at Kfar Azah, and 13 hours at Be'er Ari? Now, maybe the explanation is holy day, no one believed the warnings, they were all just kind of resting. In a country the size of New Jersey, where you have tons of helicopters and tanks, and maybe they say, well, it was a larger attack than we realized, and our alarm systems were all screwed up, and the penetration of our border wasn't, you know, completely communicated. Maybe it was. Maybe it was a stars aligning tragedy. But then tell us that. Do a press conference. Has anybody in the Israeli government done a press conference? And somebody says, Charlie, it's not your business. It's Israel. It doesn't matter. Well, no, hold on. Hold on. Time out. It actually is our business. Because the American government, 30 Americans are dead, is our business. So don't give me that. 30 American passport holders, 30 of my American brethren are dead. There's American hostages. So it is our business. Number two, Israel is largely dependent on the U.S. taxpayer. I support sending that aid. So therefore, when you send money, you should get answers. Right? You subsidize, you should get answers. We should get a voice. Has anybody from the Israeli government done a press conference? I'm sure there's been a couple where they answer some of these questions. The world deserves to know. And most importantly, if you support murdering Hamas or killing Hamas like I do, then are the same people that made the biggest mistake in Israeli history still in charge? If so, why? Why haven't they been held accountable? And why are we barreling towards something that could be another trap and another intelligence failure? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is to know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.